Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of The Bog right here on Dave Martell channel every single Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you like, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. Man, click the little alert bell so you get alert every time we go live, which is, like I said, every single Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern. And we got so much more good stuff coming your guys' way. So stay tuned. More stuff coming. More guests coming. Really great stuff. But I want to get right into it because right now we got this big thing going on all over the WHO, the World Health Organization, just issued a thing saying that the coronavirus is now a world health crisis or something of that nature. And I'm really curious because obviously, like everybody else, I'm a little bit spooked. Everybody's a little bit spooked. You know, disease is something that freaks people out. So we got my buddy Dr. G back on to come talk to us about this and let us know, is this something we should be alarmed about? What should we do? And then we're going to get into a little bit, what should we do just in case something like this does turn out to be an outbreak, whether it's here with the coronavirus or, you know, the bubonic plague comes back or Ebola or, you know, zombie apocalypse, who knows? But we're going to find out what we should do just in case. And like always, I got my boy, my co-host, Mr. Tristan here tonight from Ari Akasha. What's going on, Tristan?
I'm doing pretty good, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. So, Dr. G, how are we doing? It's been a minute since we chatted.
It's been a while. It's been quite a while, but I'm honored to be back.
Absolutely, my pleasure, man. You're one of our favorite guests that comes on. We always get asked, like, "Hey, when's Dr. G coming back?" and stuff like that. So it's real, real great to have
you back.
Thank
you. It's very humbling.
Absolutely, man. So let's get right into it. You know, everybody's talking about it. You know, Styx Hexenhammer, he's another YouTuber, he's been doing videos like every day talking about the count of people. We're up to like 8,000, 9,000 infected. You know, we're seeing videos coming out of China, doctors and nurses collapsing on the ground crying. And, you know, there's supposedly hospitals filling up and everybody's scared. Now they're quarantined. And now they're saying on the news that this is a world health crisis. What's your take on this?
Okay, so first and foremost, the first thing I want to say is we all instinctively know that the news media in and of itself lies to us. We see it all the time, no matter what channel we're watching, whether it's Fox News, whether it's CNN, whether it's MSNBC, we know that we're constantly being inundated with the lies. That being said, and if you agree with that, whoever's listening, if you agree with that, then why in the world would you start believing this nonsense? And it is nonsense. Okay, so that's first and foremost. Second of all, the coronavirus is extraordinarily common. So common that a lot of times our common influenza virus turns out to be a coronavirus. That being said, there's no question whatsoever that the people that we see that are filling up in the hospitals and everything else are people. Now, keep in mind, it's the flu season here in the States, right? And all of a sudden, these numbers are spiking in the States, and it's flu season, and everybody's panicking about this. Everybody that's starting to sneeze and get a sniffle is running to the ER. I have the coronavirus. I want to make sure I don't. So what happens? So you go to the ER. If a doc or a nurse or whoever decides to culture your mucus, you know, they're not going to culture your sputum, they're actually going to go into your nares, into your nose, and take a little culture. That culture takes weeks to grow because a virus is not a bacteria. A virus is a little tiny piece of DNA or RNA that wraps itself up in a protein coat and then goes into cells and infects the cells and makes millions of copies of itself, and then the cell bursts, goes to the next cell, and on and on and on. So it takes weeks to culture a virus. That's why when you go to the doctor, when you have a cold and it's really bad, they usually just say, you just need some fluids, maybe some aspirin for the pain, and that's about it. They don't even culture you. Now, if you go online and you see, especially now, what you'll see is it takes only a week or two to culture a virus. That's true for some common virus, such as herpes simplex, such as Epstein-Barr, which causes mononucleosis. The other one that causes hand, foot, and mouth disease. Those are very, very common viri that infect a lot of people. So the tests that have been made for that are really common. If you were to call LabCorp itself and say, how long would it take to run a culture on a virus that I'm going to send you, and I'll pay the money, whatever the code is, they're going to tell you it's going to take about a month. So these confirmed cases are not confirmed in a lab. They're confirmed by a doctor or somebody saying, yep, it's this virus. You know what I mean? It's nonsense.
So it's effectively just a single man saying, I think this might be it.
Correct. That's exactly what it is. It's not confirmed in a lab. It's not.
And what you're...
It'll take months.
And what you're saying is even by their estimation that it takes a week minimum to culture a virus, them coming out every day and saying there's all these new cases and stuff like that is just impossible.
Exactly. It's just not possible. It's not possible at all. Because what they have to do after they culture this virus, especially in an emergency, quote unquote, like this, is you just don't culture the virus. You have to run what's called a PCR on it. And that takes some of the DNA, and it has to be DNA. You can't do it with RNA. And you have to make like a million copies of it just to make sure it is what it is, you know, because the first culture that comes back, it's so small that you can't produce antibodies to it, which is what they do to confirm it. They'll go in the lab, make an antibody and say, okay, this key fits this lock, so it must be this, and run with it that way. You know, this is why we don't culture people that come in with the common flu. And that being said, just so everybody knows and everybody's aware of this, when you get the common cold, and we all get it, and keep in mind, this is cold and flu season, so everybody's getting a flu. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When we get a common cold, okay, by the time you are first symptomatic, as soon as you feel that first symptom, that first runny nose, that first sneeze, your body has already fought and won the battle with that virus. It's over. What your body is now doing is cleaning up. That first sputum, that first runny, watery stuff that comes out of your nose and goes down the back of your throat and causes a sore throat, that's infected with a lot of viri. But you've already fought the virus, and you've already won. The other thing I do want to say, and I do want to come back to in case we get cut off, is that the people that are infected, not only in China, but the quote-unquote confirmed cases here in the States, the key question that nobody's asking, that even physicians, the newer generation of physicians, the Obamacare, we call them, physicians, you know, the newer ones that are coming out, they just don't know how to think this way. But us old guys that have been around the block a while, guys and girls that have been around the block, because let's face it, most of the physicians that I know are the best ones are female. That being said, nobody's asking the age range of these people. And the age range of the 500 that are dead in China, they're all over the age of 70. They're all over, and they have coexisting, they have comorbidities, COPD, asthma, heart conditions. So if they get any virus, whether it's the coronavirus or Epstein-Barr, they're dying, you know? Mm-hmm. The people here...
Right, so it's basically just only killing the people that we would expect to die from a hard sneeze anyway.
Hit the nail on the head, my friend. You hit the nail on the head. It's not infecting and hurting younger people. It's infecting the older people. There's a new thing that I literally just saw this morning where there was a confirmed human-to-human transmission. Okay, so that's the flu, right? Human-to-human transmission. But they're saying with this coronavirus, again, I don't buy it. But even still, nobody asked the age. When somebody did go and dig up the age, it turned out the guy was like 86, and he got it from his wife who just left China, where the influenza virus comes from to begin with. You know what I mean? But yeah, of course he's going to get it, because people at that age, they get everything. You know what I mean? Their immune system is suppressed. Yeah.
So, Dr. G, do you think that some of the symptoms reported in the media or by people who claim to have it, Do you think that these people are either lying or being fed misinformation, or perhaps it's psychosomatic?
I don't think that they're lying at all. I think some of them are psychosomatic. I think what they're doing is they're people that have the flu are coming in with symptoms, which are the exact same symptoms of this coronavirus. It's cold and flu season right now. You know what I mean? So again, like I'm just getting over the flu. I know I didn't have the coronavirus because, you know what I mean? I'm not in that age range. I didn't go to China. It's just nothing that, even though I work in a hospital in a city where there's like hundreds of thousands of people that, and the university itself, you know, there's a lot of Chinese people that are coming and going. They're all coming back from break and everything else. It wasn't coronavirus. It was the flu. You know what I mean? It's a common flu that happens every year that we all get. But people now are really panicked about it. You know, people now are like, as we opened up the show with, you know, people are freaked out about this. So of course, you know, if a mother or a father sees their children starting to get the cold, they're going to say, hey, wait a second, this coronavirus thing, I don't know. You know what I mean? Better safe than sorry.
Yeah.
So they go in. Right. I think my son or daughter has a coronavirus. The physician or nurse or whoever it is that's putting it in your chart, which is all electronic now, the word coronavirus goes in there because patient thinks they have coronavirus. We asked about exposure. It was nothing. The AI that goes through this thing turns around and goes ahead and sees coronavirus and boom, you know, it counts that and says, we have this many reported in our hospital, even though they're not, even though it's the AI that's looking at that, in our hospital, it's called Epic. In the VA, it's called Vista, the computer charting. The AI is just seeing coronavirus and counting it. You know what I mean? It's not seeing patient thinks they have coronavirus because they're freaked out about the coronavirus. Turns out it's nothing but the flu. That's not what the AI is picking up, and that's not what's being counted.
So overall, what you're saying is that the coronavirus is very common. I believe before the show you said that everybody's here already has had the coronavirus. It's very, very common.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's not going to kill you. It's just like the flu.
Nope. Exactly. Unless you're immunocompromised, like you're very, very old or very, very young, or you're on what's called an immunosuppressive, which if you don't know what it is, you're not on it, so don't worry about it. You know, but people who have Crohn's disease and things like that, they're on immunosuppressives. They might be affected by a coronavirus because there's hundreds of different strains. They're not getting this, you know, it's just nonsense.
Right, but it sounds like the people who would have to be worried about getting the coronavirus would have to get worried about getting anything, basically.
Right, exactly. You know, you're going to get the flu before you get the coronavirus.
So pretty much what you're saying is this...
15,000
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So pretty much what you're saying is that this coronavirus scare is they have generated a bunch of hysteria over a common flu.
Right. 15,000 people per year. 15,000 per year in the U.S. alone die of the flu every year. I'll say that again. 15,000 people per year in the U.S. die of the flu. 15,000. So you look at this 500 that died in China. Okay. You know what I mean? That's a bit of a fraction of 15,000 that die in the U.S. every year of the flu.
So, but one might argue that it's a little bit more, terrifying because it's concentrated in one area, which is Wuhan in China. And it's also, you know, 500 people, I'm not sure how many people have died, but it was like 500 people have died, and that's only in this short amount of time.
Well, again, we don't know when this coronavirus decided it was going to jump from so these viruses in China, these variants in China, they come from three animals. When three animals get together and take a crap in a big thing of water, and those animals happen to be ducks, cows, and chickens. When they all get together and go to the bathroom in the water, all these virus mix together, and we get the influenza virus. So we don't know when this virus, this coronavirus, we don't know when this outbreak even started. I mean, it could have popped out and jumped into human beings in the summertime, which it probably did, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, I've been led to believe that the coronavirus in China is from the eating some sort of bat soup. Can you confirm any of this?
I can't confirm that, but I will say that it's almost impossible to confirm that. You know, it's very easy to say, yeah, these weird Chinese people and their weird practices. Again, look at what the media is doing. They're getting you hyped up, right?
Yeah.
They're acting on our repulsive response that's so ingrained in human beings that, you know, it's so ingrained in us that, yeah, of course, these weirdos that eat this bat and everything else, it's nonsense. The amount of people that are eating bats and snakes and everything else over there, the fraction of people that are eating that kind of stuff that would cause this to go ahead and jump species, so to speak, is so minute that it's laughable. But it's easy for people that don't live in this world, in the medical world, or to say, oh, well, yeah, of course it has to be from bats because the DNA markers in it, which the CDC and everybody else looks at, doesn't have like the duck DNA marker. You know what I mean? It doesn't have the cow DNA marker, you know? So I'm not saying that this is man-made. I'm not saying that by any stretch of the imagination, because I don't think it is. I don't think this is anything. However, it's very easy to say, yeah, it came from bats. It's like me saying it came from polar bears. Oh, okay. You know, prove me wrong. You can't. You know what I mean? The average person on the street isn't going to be able to either, because they're not concerned about the where. They're concerned about, is it going to affect me?
Real quick, we got a super chat. Let me read this super chat real quick. I was giggling at this earlier. From our buddy, our good Aussie friend, Mitty, gives us $5 Australian. Says, bucks for the bog god, shekels for the Sedian throne.
There you go, man.
Thank you, Mr. Mitty. Thank you, sir. Love that guy.
I see. I'm actually reading some of these comments here, and the one, my mom is already worried about this. She's already over 70 and has some other health issues. Your mom shouldn't worry about this. What's happening with your mom? Do yourself a favor. Go to your mom, talk to her, and just tell her to keep a bottle of rubbing alcohol around if she's concerned. You know, get some Purell. You know, don't go around and start inhaling. You know, don't go around the shopping mall and where there's the common flu running around. She has more to worry about the common flu than she does about this, because it's flu and cold season right now. And again, you know, of course, people over 70, these are the people that are watching the news, that are sitting at home watching the news. They're panicking people, and they're going to go ahead and say, they're going to call their kids who have children of their own. Oh, I'm worried about this. I'm worried about this. When you worry, your stress hormones increase, and that lowers your immune system.
And as we know, people over 70 are the only people watching the mainstream news.
Right.
That is true. Boomers love it. So, you mentioned something that I think is interesting. This is kind of a theory that I had and developed from some stuff that I saw out there on the internet. I don't know how true it is, because this is tinfoil hat time. So, Dr. G, what do you think about, because apparently there is some sort of, engineering, bioengineering lab there in Wuhan. What are the chances that this is some sort of bioweapon that they are either releasing or released on accident, and people are getting sick, but they're lying about what it is?
Sure. And again, like, let's really take a cold, hard look at that, okay? And again, I'm just a bigger tinfoil hat person as the next guy, because my theory as to why the hype is going on, as we talked about earlier, is very, very different than the disease itself. But let's go with that for a second. So first and foremost, we can't get accurate data of the population of China from the Chinese. How the hell do we know that there's a biolab, some military biolab that would probably be as classified as you can get, in China when we don't even know how many cars are in China. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Come on. Like, let's face it. I mean, people worry about biolabs here in the States. Do you really think, ask any military person about what the classification would be of somebody walking into a biolab just to go ahead and change a garbage can? You probably have to have a top secret just to walk in the door. You know what I mean? Just to change your garbage bags.
Sure.
You know, it's really easy to say something like that and not be able to confirm it. China is so restricted on their information. Do you really think that they're just going to allow us to know where one of their biolabs are? Not a chance in hell. Not a chance in hell. The PLA are a lot smarter than that.
So you don't think it's a bioweapon at all?
No, not even a little bit. I think it's another virus that came out of China, as usual, that happened to be during cold and flu season, as usual. However, so again, let's put the tinfoil hat on for a second, okay? So we're going to go down the road that I was bringing you before. There is no question. There's no such thing as a coincidence in life, right? We all know this. And again, instinctively, we know this. The media, right? Again, let's just say Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, the whole gamut, ABC, CBS, and we all know they work together because we've all seen like Tucker Carlson where they all say the same stuff. Watch the virus and don't watch the shit show that happens to be the impeachment. And I'm telling you something, the more people start to realize that it is a shit show and it's all a bunch of lies and it's nonsense, and the more they can't get Trump on this, the more they're going nuts, and the more you're hearing about this, and the more we're being panicked. Just today, Justice Roberts, who was appointed by Bush, would not read Rand Paul's question that had this quote-unquote whistleblower, I'll call him a damn traitor, who didn't have this mid-level friggin' officer, this mid-level worker in the White House, wouldn't read the question that Rand Paul had submitted to him, a sitting congressman, wouldn't read this question, and all of a sudden the World Health Organization, which again is out of like Belgium, it's not even a U.S. thing, is now saying that this is an emergency. One thing that's odd is they haven't called it a pandemic yet, right? The definition of a pandemic is an epidemic that crosses continents. Now, if this was a true pandemic, which it is by definition, nobody's calling it a pandemic because they haven't thrown that card yet. So this is an epidemic in China that came here to the U.S. That is technically a pandemic because it crossed continents. But you're not hearing that yet. You will. Because pandemic is their last card. When they start saying pandemic, that's when we start having travel restrictions. That's when we start having restrictions on the internet and communication. That's when we start having food rationing. That's when we start having people, oh, well, you're sick. Guess what? You're going to a hospital of our choosing because now it's a national emergency because of this pandemic. And guess what? People who, you know, might not really go with the flow and might be Trump supporters and everything else. Oh, you're sick. You got the sniffles. We see, you know, you bought some tissues or whatever the case may be. Your insurance company, Blue Cross Blue Shield, reports that you went to the hospital and you said you might have the coronavirus, whatever the case may be. Well, we think you need, because it's a pandemic, it's an emergency. Again, nobody's saying pandemic yet. Because it's a pandemic, you need to be isolated. We need to take you to an isolation area. Well, where the hell is that isolation area? When the pandemic, quote-unquote pandemic, starts getting thrown around out there and people start getting put into isolation areas, make no mistake, those isolation areas are ready to go. They're just not going to crop up overnight. You know what I mean? They're old military bases that are being set up right now as we speak. Rome, New York. That big military base in Rome, New York, that was shut down, that they had that Lollapalooza, that big Woodstock 20th anniversary.
Dr. G, you're getting a little bit muffled. I think maybe your connection is not very good.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Up there, we can hear you. We can hear you.
All right. I said the magic word, pandemic. Nobody's throwing that around yet, though, you know?
Hans the Heathen says in the chat here, didn't they quarantine the city? Why would they do that for a common flu?
Well, again, you know, that is a question that these news people, if they had any balls, would start asking.
So what?
They're quarantining people because it's well, and they're not doing it yet. Again, watch this impeachment. When Trump gets off, when he walks, and he will walk, you know, when he walks, that's their last card. That's when they're going to start throwing the pandemic word around, and that's when people are going to freak the hell out. That's when people are really going to start bugging out when you start saying pandemic.
But he means they quarantined Wuhan. They quarantined the city in China already.
Well, of course they have. You know, do you think the people of Wuhan, that's even if that's true. You know what I mean? That's number one. And number two, you think the people of Wuhan, that's ops normal for them. You know, it's kind of funny. You know, there was all these riots going on and people dying over there. The police killing people. It was all over YouTube and Reddit and everything else. You don't hear anything about that anymore, right? The country of China was getting overrun by rioters. Of course they're going to start shutting cities down. Of course they're going to start saying we're shutting you down because of a virus that's going all over the place. If they turn around and say we're shutting you down because we don't want you protesting, well, guess what? Now the Western world has to step in. And
that's
we're not
right
up here paying our bills.
So you're saying the Chinese might be using it as a convenient political narrative to clamp down on internal defense. They know it's just the common flu, more or less, but they're using it as a justification.
When has any government not done that?
Yeah, I mean, it would be completely within the MO of China to do that. I hadn't actually considered that.
Of course. I mean, the Chinese wrote about it. The PLA wrote about it a long time ago. You know what I mean? It's in a book. I can't remember what the name is, but I know on Amazon it costs like $300 now just to get this book. You know what I mean? I can't remember the name of it. If I do, Dave, I'll get in touch with you and let you know. But they wrote about this stuff. They said that they were going to do this stuff. And again, our media, who do you think runs our media? Every time you turn around, you can't turn on any TV, and again, like, whether we believe it or not, that doesn't say we have to edit our movies for the Chinese. We have to do this for the Chinese. South Park had an episode making fun of it in October. You know what I mean? That the media kisses the Chinese ass. Of course they're pulling the strings here. Of course they are.
Right. I mean, there was a big issue over, I think it was The Last Jedi or The Rise of Skywalker, whichever was the last Star Wars movie. I never actually went to go see it. But apparently they had like a homosexual kiss at the end, and when they released it in China, they edited that part out. So if Hollywood, you know, the farthest left vehicle of like rampant wokeness, is willing to throw homosexuals under the bus to please China, what won't they be willing to do?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They don't care. Hollywood doesn't care about us. They care about who's paying the bills. And who's paying the bills? China.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not just paying the bills. They're making more money. Hollywood's making more money sending their movies over to China. They're making so much money. They don't give a shit about us. Hollywood doesn't care. And again, this is something we know. You know what I mean? This is something that's common knowledge. Why would this all of a sudden change during this outbreak? Of course it wouldn't. You know what I mean? They're going to use it to their advantage. The next step, you mark my words on this. Again, the definition of pandemic is when an epidemic, whatever it is, crosses continents, when it goes from one continent to another, which if all these reports are true, this thing went from China, it's now showing up in Australia, across the continent, now showing up in Chicago, across the continent, but they're not saying the word pandemic because they know you say the word pandemic and people start freaking out. Remember that scene in Jaws where the guy was like, you know, you say barracuda and everybody says, who, what? You say shark and you have a panic on your hands? You say the word pandemic, and people are going to start freaking. And I'm telling you right now, that's when travel restrictions are going to start. That's when this Democratic Congress is going to say, you know what, we can't have people going into and out of New York City. We can't have people going into and out of Jacksonville, Florida, where it's a major shipping port. So my advice to people is to just sort of be ready for something like this. Be ready for travel restrictions. Be ready, not just you traveling, but tractor trailers full of stuff getting from point A to point B.
So let's go for some tinfoil here for an interesting what if. So let's say in the future, you know, a couple months from now, we start seeing this come up with travel restrictions. They start shutting down thoroughfares in major cities and to, you know, prohibit the spread of the virus for what is effectively the common flu. The Democratic National Primary is in a couple months. I mean, the first primary is in a couple days, in a couple weeks, it'll be Super Tuesday.
Right.
And now, Bernie Sanders is leading the Democratic primary. Now, wouldn't it be in the interest of some of the very elite people in our government to make sure that this socialist doesn't win the Democratic primary, maybe by making
sure
people don't turn out?
Absolutely, man. I love that tinfoil because I'm telling you right now, of course, they don't want Bernie Sanders, and they don't even want this Democratic primary to go. They still want Hillary. You know what I mean? Like, they still, and if it does go to a contested convention without this virus and everything else, it's still going to be contested. We all know it. And watch, Hillary's going to throw a hat in the ring. But I think, again, this is just me. I think that when this what's going to start everything is going to be when Trump gets off. They're going to say pandemic, and conveniently enough, nobody's going to be able to get into or out of Milwaukee, and they won't be able to have their convention.
Wow. That makes too much sense, Dr. G. You have...
I'm just saying that this is my opinion, because I know this virus is a bunch of bullshit, and it's killing a lot of people. And I'll tell you this, and I do want to say this, So I changed careers, right? I now teach high school, and I do want to give a shout-out to the most brilliant human beings I've ever met in my entire life are a bunch of high school students in the middle of nowhere, right? They're scaring these kids. Now, I have an issue with that because I'm a little bit on the overprotective side of them already. You know what I mean?
And, yeah.
And for these kids to be scared of any of this nonsense, you're sort of kicked in the door of my fort kind of thing. You know what I mean? I really don't like that. You know, so yeah, watch. It's just, again, it's just the virus is bullshit. The effects of what the elites are going to do to control us and to make sure Trump somehow or another looks bad and is removed or whatever the case may be, make no mistake about it. I am as sure of this as I am that the sun's going to come up in the tomorrow in the east and set in the damn west.
So let's kind of switch gears here, and let's say we've established that you know, everybody should just calm down. There's absolutely zero way that they're confirming all these cases because it takes so many weeks to even figure out what kind of virus it is, and even that is kind of hairy. So there's no way they're confirming these cases. That's a bunch of crap.
Absolutely not. They're not doing it. Period.
They're not doing
it. They're not.
Period. And even if it was, the coronavirus itself is a nothing burger. If you are somebody that's somewhat healthy, of moderate health, and you're not on whatever them things are, that you know,
immunosuppressants, right?
Or if you're not ancient or a baby, you're going to be fine if you get the coronavirus. It's a big nothing burger.
Yeah, it'll be like getting the flu. You won't even know it.
It'll
be like getting the flu. You won't even know it.
And as like always, the media is a bunch of lying snakes. So let's switch
as
gears.
Always.
Let's switch gears here a little bit, and let's say that it's not coronavirus. Say it's some really nasty bug that is spreading. Say there is a pandemic. What should, because this is something that a lot of people, when a lot of people prep, you know what I mean, when a lot of people prep for things, they're prepping for wars, they're prepping for food outages, they're prepping for collapse. How many people actually prep for like a plague, which is something that could really, really happen? Like, you know, how many times you get bit by mosquitoes? You know, I mean, how many horrible diseases just rip through Africa and kill thousands of people all the time?
Right,
It's not out of, it's not far-fetched to believe that we could get hit with a crazy disease at some point. It happens all the time.
Not at all.
So,
not at all. There was a person I was talking to very, very recently in a country far, far away who was like, look, man, I wouldn't be surprised if our media and our elites are going off on this coronavirus when something else might be getting ready to be unleashed during the Super Bowl or something. You know, again, that's that right there is not beyond the realm of possibility. Everybody's looking for this coronavirus, and, you know, it's something else, something bacterial or something else. First of all, and it's very, very difficult. It's extremely difficult to start making bioweapons out of viruses and bacteria. Whoever says it's easy, and you get all these armchair warriors who is like, yeah, I was in the military, blah, 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 bullshit. They're full of shit. You know what I mean? They just are. It's very difficult to do, because if it was that easy to do, Venezuela would have done it when Hugo Chavez was in office. You know what I mean? They had plenty of money. They had plenty of backing from the Iranian government. It's not an easy thing to do. However, again, however, there's that caveat there. There are certain bacteria and viri that won't burn themselves out relatively quickly. And again, we have the Super Bowl coming up. It's here in Miami. You know what I mean? People are going to be flying into and flying out of Miami International Airport, which is a hub for South America and the Caribbean to begin with. You know what I mean? So it's not beyond the realm of possibility. But I will say this, as far as the prepping goes, yeah, we don't prep for that. But what else don't we prep for? How many people have a in their go bags or whatever the case may be, have a pair of crutches? How many people have a pair of crutches that you can buy in Walmart right now, and I would suggest you get them, but, you know, you slip and break your leg or twist your ankle, and you don't have a pair of crutches in your closet, and something does go down, well, you're up shit's creek, because now you can't move around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Simple things like that are often overlooked. You know, we can only prepare for so much, and we can only prepare until we reach our anxiety threshold. You know, what we can do is look around and say, okay, you know, why don't I wash my hands? You know what I mean? If you go to the gas station, you know, bring some Purell with you, and if you use that gas station, how many times have you seen somebody pick their nose, get out of their truck, and then go pump gas, and then you go right after them? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Be a little bit cautious about hand sanitation and everything else. You know, as long as we keep good hand sanitation, as long as we keep good sanitation and universal precautions, we don't let people sneeze on us and everything else, and eat healthy and be healthy, we're good to go. You know, you'll be good to go.
So what are the chances that here in the West, like in the United States, or our buddy Mitty earlier, who's in Australia, here in like healthy Western advanced civilization, what is the chances that we could get hit with a plague like they do in Africa? Is it slim? Is it something that's pretty improbable, or is it something that could just happen at any point?
Well, it can happen at any point, but again, when we're comparing things that happen in third world countries, again, not to sound pretentious, but we're a little bit comparing apples to oranges. When these outbreaks happen in third world countries, again, what's going on is you have people who are literally taking a crap in a river. Somebody's drinking it from right down river. The person who just took a crap doesn't wipe their ass, and if they do, they don't wash their hands. Then they go cook dinner for the entire tribe. You know what I mean? They're very, very unsanitary conditions. You know, by nature, it's nothing that, you know, it's unfortunate, but that's just how it is in these countries. You know, and again, a lot of the practices in say, areas where Ebola has come out and everything else, you know, their religious practices dictate that they can't, you know, wash their hands every third moon or whatever. I forget what it was when the whole Ebola scare was out. You know what I mean? You know, all these religious practices that came out where people just are not going to bend on their religious practices, even if it does kill, you know, 1,000 people because of poor sanitation practices. You know, us here in the States, some bioweapon or something like that, you be more afraid of being struck by lightning. You know, I hate to be, I know there's going to be a lot of people that are going to leave comments, and again, armchair soldiers and sailors that don't know what they're talking about, that simply don't know what they're talking about. And I'll challenge all of them, you know what I mean, because we could go with facts or we could go with hype. Here in the States, you have a better chance of being struck by lightning or hitting a lotto than something like that happens.
So let's say on the off chance some horrible new epidemic spreads and it's wiping people out. What do we got to do to get ready for that? How would we try to survive that? Or, you know, should we, like, get garbage bags and duct tape our hands, you know, like hide our kids in the basement?
Of course
not. Should we do?
Of course not. You know, we practice, we stay healthy. I mean, I know that that's the answer nobody really wants to hear because it's a very simple answer. But going out and buying more stuff is not the answer. You know, buying the right stuff is the answer. You know, buying like, water filters, because again, like, let's play this one out with this coronavirus. And let's just say, for the sake of conversation, I'm right, right? So say they do start putting in travel restrictions in, you know, later on when they start saying pandemic and everything else. How are you going to get soap? You know how to make soap? You know what I mean? Like, how are you going to... Now we're setting ourselves up for something very serious to happen, because our sanitation is going to change. How are you going to get rid of your garbage? The rats that are going to be coming to your garbage, well, guess what? Yersinia pestis, or the plague, happens to be out in California right now. If you live in California, you know, you might want to start looking out for the plague, that kind of stuff. But again, right now, as long as you stay healthy and live healthy and just take precautions, you really don't have much to worry about. As much as you want to worry, you do.
Well, you know, some people would claim that California is already a plague.
It is a plague.
Yeah. Speak to people in Texas and people in Colorado and people in Nevada and people in everywhere in the West, Idaho. California is probably a worse plague than the Spanish flu.
Right. Exactly. You know, is that what you want to start looking out for? You know what I mean? What I would do, my advice to people now is to, you know, if you want to stock up on stuff, you know, the best stuff to do is, like, stock up on soaps, you know, bleach, that kind of stuff, where if there are travel restrictions, then we can't get this stuff, because that's when we're setting ourselves up for something really bad to happen, you know, as far as diseases go, communicable diseases go. You know, so again, you know, I said earlier that one person, I've been watching these YouTube videos on this, the blonde butter maker. Look at her stuff. I got to give that young woman a shout out, man, because the woman is brilliant. She's brilliant. You know, she teaches us, the folk, how to start living healthy and things like that. You know what I mean? Go look at some of her videos, you know, and some of the videos. Folkish Farmer. You know what I mean? The man is incredible. That man should be writing a book. You know, that everybody should have on their shelves, you know.
Yeah, speaking of Folkish Farmer, at the end of this show, we got he's going to cook a roasted chicken for us. We got a video for Folkish Farmer.
Don't even get me started, man, because A, I like Folkish Farmer on our other thing here, you know, and I'm really hungry for some chicken right about now.
Well, it looks like somebody Chinese is commenting, so maybe...
Yeah, they're probably saying, you know, I can't even imagine what they're saying. You know what I mean? It's probably a PLA right now. You know,
hopefully it's not shut it down.
Right.
Well, I can't really, like, read their alphabet of wingdings, so.
Right. But God knows, man. If you're getting somebody from China listening in or writing in, when does that ever happen? I think we may have struck a nerve.
Yeah. Well,
apparently it's something about abortion, according to Google.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Yeah. So, real quick.
Right, I think it says dealing with repatriation is the most critical issue, something like immigration, migration.
Yeah, well, what that person should be doing, and if they could understand, go ahead and ask your government, why is it that now all of a sudden there's no riots going on and your government isn't being overrun by its people? Because a couple of weeks ago, that was about to happen, and the Chinese government was getting upset about it.
Yeah, if there's anybody in the chat that speaks Mandarin, let them know. I don't know if Cantonese or whatever, or Chinese, whatever. And tell them to quit eating that bat soup. But anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
stop eating bats, bro. Just eat regular meat. Like, eat regular food. Have a cheesesteak or something. Come on. So before we get too far, we got a few minutes left, but I want to give a shout out right here. I want to give a plug to the Epicis magazine. Man, so many. Speaking, we got Dr. G and Tristan and myself are all in this magazine, the issue one of the Epicis, the Cetian Revolution.
I'm proud to be in there. I'm proud. I got to cut you off on this. I am damn proud to be a part of the Epicis magazine and the Nirvana Society. I am damn proud to be a part of the Nirvana Society and the Epicis magazine.
Oh, man.
For this issue, I got sent in one of my articles, and I also have written some poetry, so that'll be pretty good.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, we got some. We got issue number two in the works here. Let me see if I can find Dr. G's article here. He's got an article. It was about the intro to folk medicine, I believe, here. Yep,
yeah, we're gonna get started with medicine, and then we're gonna start going into herbs and what we can do. What I want to do, I was laying the groundwork so that when we start going into different herbs and things that we can find around our gardens and we can grow, just to make sure we know what we're taking and what's going on in our body. You know, if we all understand that, then, you know, doing stuff that, let's say the blonde butter maker, it's sort of like complimenting her stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I started watching her videos and was like, you know, hers is great stuff. What I would think as a physician would complement that would be, how does all this stuff work?
Yeah, maybe we need to get Blonde Buttermaker into the Neurona Society and start helping us make content. That would be pretty cool.
Yep.
That would be pretty cool. But yeah, make sure you pick up a copy of the Epicis magazine. Issue 2 is going to be coming out at Ostara at the Spring Equinox. So everybody, make sure you get your copy here now. It's like $6. I believe Mark also uploaded the full color version. So you can get either one you want. Make sure you get this, man.
And I have to say, the new color cover photo for it is absolutely brilliant and beautiful. It really was impressive.
And the artwork in general, you know what I mean? To say gorgeous is putting it mildly, man. The artwork in general is just mind-blowing, you know?
It's
great
a good
job
work.
On it.
It's good work, man. I was project manager for this bad boy, and this is one of my most proud things that I was ever kind of. But it's not even like me. Like, it was just like these guys. Just like I didn't even really have to do anything. I just like uploaded some articles and get handed over to our layout guy.
No. Don't be too humble, man. Give yourself credit where credit's due. You didn't just do nothing. From my vantage point, watching everything, it was. You and other people, again, I don't want to name names because, you know, they might not be comfortable with it, but everybody who is involved on your level should really pat yourselves on the back because you did an outstanding job and you did a lot of work. So don't try going down that road. I'm not going to let you off the hook.
I appreciate it. Well, it was kind of my idea, so I'll take credit for it. But
yeah,
so get a copy of the Epicis magazine available on Amazon. The black and white version is, I believe it's like $6-7 or something like that. And the full color version, I think it's like $12. It's really, really great. Make sure to stay tuned for the next issue. So before we run out of time, Dr. G, if you could give like some quick pointers for, I know you said wash your hands, you know, make sure you stay healthy. Obviously, make sure you have clean water, that kind of stuff. So Say like it goes nuts. Is there anything that we would want to have in our house that's a must have for this type of situation that we might not even think about?
Absolutely, positively. What you want in this kind of situation, what I'm stocking up on a lot, and I'm not buying it in bulk because I just don't want to attract any kind of attention. But I am stocking up on regular soap. Just your regular ivory soap, tons and tons of ivory soap, because you could always melt that stuff down and make it into liquid soap. It could always be watered down. The other thing you want to have around, again, would be a good thing to have. I like Berkey water filters, but some sort of charcoal-based water filter. Again, just in case, you know, first aid equipment. Again, start thinking in terms of not just, you know, bandages and band-aids and neck braces and everything else. Start thinking, you know, maybe a walker that costs $40 at Walmart, you know, in case somebody can't walk and get around and they need a walker. Crutches, things like that, braces. The thing I can't stress to people is basic first aid courses. You know, get your hands dirty. Go out and take a basic first aid course. Situational awareness will always trump everything, and just be aware of what's going on around you. If somebody's coughing and looks sick, and instinctively, you know, just to stay away from them, stay the hell away from them, you know. But as far as like prepping and stocking up on things, I'm stocking up on bleach, and I always have, and I'm always stocking up on soap. I can't have too much of that stuff laying around.
Roy, our buddy Roy asks, what about those face masks? Are they useful at all?
Well, again, it really depends on the situation. The face masks, if you're going to be out and about and you're going to be, you know, shopping at Walmart or wherever the case may be, then absolutely. If you're going to be traveling, absolutely. But as far as at home, they're just a waste of time, money, and if anything, they'll do more harm than good, because what happens is when you're breathing in these things, you get really sweaty, and the temperature around your nose and mouth starts to increase a little bit, so you have a moist area with a high temperature. That's a breeding ground for bacteria and viri. It's a breeding ground for it. So those things are pretty counterproductive in the long run. Again, that's if you're at home. If you're out traveling around and you're going to be around sick people, or you're going to be around the unknown people, then absolutely. But again, you got to get the ones that will block viri that just won't block bacteria. You know, you got to get a real, real small microgram, you know, a tiny, tiny mic mask to make sure that stuff doesn't come through, because otherwise you may as well just have a screen on the face.
And we got a super chat from Big Boss. Sends a unicorn, apparently. $1.50. Thank you, Big Boss. Thank you very much. I don't know how they send unicorns. I've never seen a unicorn super chat before. That's
$1.49.
I think YouTube has rolled out a new thing where you can purchase different stickers, and that's what you can send.
I just find it odd. The sticker probably cost a penny. And Big Boss, I'm not insulting you by the $1.49. Don't get me wrong. I think any donation to Dave is a great donation, but I just found out the $1.49. You know what I mean? Like, it just sort of struck me as odd. You know what I mean? They have $1.50 or $1.25.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. $1.49 is a very specific amount of money.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. That's when you know the sticker costs a penny. Like, I gotta take it out of $1.50.
Yeah.
They're worth $1.49 and not a dime more.
Right.
Well, so Big Boss, we appreciate it. We appreciate it.
$1.49 is a lot of money to a lot of people. So I don't mean to joke on his. I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? That to a lot of people is a very sizable donation. But I just found
I wasn't making fun of the actual number. I was making fun of the specificity.
Right. That's what caught my eye. The specificity. Now next time he's gonna. To donate a penny, you know what I mean, and be like, there you go, 99 cents, and another one, 99 cents. You just have to, here we go.
Yeah, thank you, Big Boss,
this is what I love. This is why I love coming on your channel, man. Out of everything that I do, this is why I love coming on the Bog, because your viewers are just phenomenal, man. Just the sense of humor they have is unbelievable.
Oh, they're great. I have the best audience in the world. Best audience in the world.
You do. Hands down. A Big Boss with the turd deck.
Dick gave us a turd for $1. Appreciate you, Big Boss.
I suppose we deserve that one.
Oh, absolutely. All three of us deserve that one.
That's good stuff. Thank you, Big Boss. Then our boy Roy Danton. $9.99. Thank you so much for this amazing show and talking about this important topic. Our pleasure, Mr. Roy. Our pleasure.
Biddy. Australian 99 to boot, you know.
Yeah. I wonder what that is in American. That's probably like 10 grand American.
It probably is. You know, normally Australians. Probably like $10,000.
Very cool. Thank you so much to everybody that gave a generous donation, man. We couldn't do this stuff without you guys. And, thank you so much. And, unfortunately, we are running out of time. So, Dr. G, do you have any conclusion for the audience here?
Again, yeah, absolutely. With just trust your gut. You know we're being lied to by the media. We know that. We've known it all along. Always ask yourself when these things, and again, when the big P word comes up, look at what else is going on. You know, we know that they're lying to us. We just do. We know that Hollywood bows down to China. We just do. Why is this any different? If you ask yourself that and you have a good answer for it, then good. You know what I mean? But if you can't come up with a good answer, which none of us really can, well, then it's probably the duck that's walking and quacking like the duck.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Perfect sense. Mr. Tristan, do you have anything in conclusion for us?
Not really. I would just mostly echo what Dr. G said. And, you know, he's given me a lot of thought to think about here, because previously I was actually getting into the coronavirus scare. I was thinking it might actually be something, you know, it might mutate or whatever. And that was before I figured it was just a common cold. I had never even heard that before.
Yeah. But anyway, Dr. G, like always, thank you so much for coming on, man. We always love having you on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And thank you.
It is an honor.
Absolutely, man. It's an honor to have you in the community, and thank you for all the work you do and all the wisdom and knowledge that you spread. You're a treasure for us, man. We really appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm humbled and I'm honored to be with everybody. I really, really, truly from my heart, I just want to make sure the folk is really we are a community, and in the end we have to take care of each other because nobody's going to take care of us. You know, so anything I can do for anybody, you know, I'll be more than happy to do it.
Wonderful. All right, so everybody, don't go anywhere, because after we shut it down here, Folkish Farmer's up next with a roasted chicken recipe. So we're going to check that out. Sounds delicious. Folkish Farmer is a wonderful cook, man. He's an awesome guy, good friend of mine. You know, everybody knows Folkish Farmer. Really, really great stuff. So he's coming up right after this. Before we shut down, I'm going to do a couple plugs here. Everybody knows Big Dave's the king of shills. So, Otis Book, Mark Pereer, get it. You're going to love this. This is an absolute must-have for your bookshelf. Odin's Wife. Remember, we had William Reeves on. Brilliant, brilliant man. Survive the Jive got a copy of this book. I'm going to see if we can't get William on his show to talk about it. It's going to be pretty good stuff. And then also, make sure you have a copy of The Odinist Edda. All these books are absolutely great, man. I've read all of these front to back multiple times. Absolutely love them. You got to have them on your shelf. And if you already do, make sure you have a copy of the Epicis magazine, because the next issue is coming up. You don't want to be behind. You don't want to be hunt behind. You want to be up on the Epicis magazine. I guarantee it. Everybody loves it. All this stuff. Many thanks to all of our wonderful audience. Many blessings to all you guys, man. Hail to you guys. Hail to Big Boss. Hail to Mitty. Hail to Roy. Hail to all our donators. Hail to everybody, man. Much love. Many blessings. Don't go anywhere. Folkish Farmer's up next. But like always, make sure you like, subscribe, share. Click the alert button so you can alert every time we go live with the little bell up in the corner, which is every single Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Give us some shares, man. Drop this into your Discords. Drop it into your Telegram chats. Drop it on Facebook, on Twitter, wherever out there in the social media space that you are. Share us around for us and help us get the word out and stuff like that. Much love. Many blessings. Thank you guys so much. I'll see you guys next week. Hail.